Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
It is episode 58 of Working Class on DeerCast. 58.
Man, getting up chugging lighter right along.
Yeah, we are. Thanks for being here, fellas. We're recording. Sorry, disclaimer. We're recording this while some construction's literally happening behind Doug and Eric.
Yep.
So if you hear some noise, there's nothing we can do about it. It's part of the gig. This is really the most working class episode. There's guys working right there. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate the support this year, coming into the end of the year here. Doug, this episode's all about you, and I'm tempted to leave because when we did the episode about my buck, you didn't show up.
I'm sorry.
So I might just get up and go have a beer outside of the studio and let you figure it out.
I'll just leave too, and it'll just be him by himself. Whoa.
Just reminiscing.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I don't know what it is in my hand.
So, yeah, it's all awkward.
Quick plug, if you're listening to this and you don't currently have DeerCast and use DeerCast as a weather tool, a social app, video content.
Mapping. I mean, there's everything.
Everything you need is there. I highly recommend get in there, grab DeerCast, because everyone that calls me to ask, hey, man, I hit this buck here. What do you think? I'm like, if you had DeerCast, you wouldn't be calling me right now.
Right.
Because you have DeerCast track.
That's right.
So get on DeerCast. Check it out. If you're not subscribed already, there's different levels of subscription, I guess. So find the one that fits you and try it out. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Doug, what's up, man? You killed a deer.
Finally.
And the chip bet just got weird.
It's got spicier.
It did get spicier. This is actually the latest buck I've killed with a bow.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the date on it?
26th.
Of November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, you never... That's you're efficient then.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good.
Okay.
But yeah, it's actually been a pretty tough rut this year. So
yeah,
it's a rough season so far.
Both you guys, I think the chip bet jinxed you guys.
I
think so.
Yeah. Me and Eric talked about it during the rut. Like, maybe we should just go eat the chip.
Just get it over with.
Get it over with.
Together.
Yep.
Like, before you killed your buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were seeing good deer, but man, like, it was like a radius. They would not come in shooting range.
What do you think it was? Just luck, bad luck? Just not getting the dial to the right
bad
tree?
Bad juju.
I mean, most of the time,
bet.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's like, you know, the doe goes the wrong way. Or
yeah, I mean, there is a lot of like luck and chance when it comes to like details like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But
I mean, if they just go one way.
Yeah.
The buck's dead. Seeing a lot of good bucks too. It was just like nothing would come in, or you'd move and then they'd be, you know how you do that? You move, you're like, oh shit, the bucks are over there. So you move over there.
Yeah, that's a game you play.
Then they were over back where you were, and it's like, God damn it.
That's a game you just play. You play that game all day.
Yep.
Yeah, there's not much you can do.
The back and forth.
Try your best.
Cat and mouse of deer hunting. You'll burn yourself out doing that too, moving stands. And I think you're better off, like, you know, if you have a couple different properties or like trail cams are driving you nuts or something like that, you're better off sticking to your guns to a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a point.
So that's what I tried this year. I tried hunting back where me and Eric killed last year, and I mean, I was seeing good deer, but man, they would not come out of the cedar thickets. And I don't know. I've always...
Do you think that stretch of weird weather, like the east winds and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that really hot day on the second week of November.
We had a lot of weird winds, and it got real warm during the rut.
Then cold.
Cold, and then it warmed back up, and I think it's just got the deer all wonky. They don't know what to think.
And this year has just been windy, just... Super windy.
The first 2 weeks of November were just windy and weird.
Yeah.
But we also like, that's where DeerCast came in clutch. It's like the cold fronts we had in October this year were so awesome.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, you can see that through a normal weather app, but DeerCast is kind of like, if you're not hunting on Friday when this cold front comes in Friday afternoon, you better be, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Right. And I've always been a huge all day sit guy. So
yeah, you do a lot of all day sits.
Yeah. This year was a lot, but man, out in that wind, I don't know. It just,
when it's windy out too, I mean, the deer still move, just not as much. And then when you're sitting in that wind, it just,
it's not motivating to sit in the wind.
It takes it out of you, dude. Like,
yeah,
it's easier now because, I mean, you know, all our buddies and stuff, you're seeing bucks midday all the time. I mean, I've not seen them when I'm hunting, but you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rut. Anything could happen.
You never do know.
But anyways, I had a chance at a nicer one at 34 yards, but it was just too thick. I couldn't really get an arrow in there during the rut. So then my rutcation ended, and now it's like, you know, that week in between the rut and Thanksgiving, like that week's just, I hate that week, but you got to go. And then come Thanksgiving week, I like a lot, actually. And Lee agreed with me, too, that, I mean, I don't, like, the big bucks are trying to find the last does and just cruising, so.
Yeah.
So I made it to there, and then I actually finally moved out of that one spot. I should have did this earlier, because, I don't know, I should have known it wasn't going to happen there, but, you know, you committed to a spot sometimes.
Hindsight's 20/20, man.
I mean, that spot just looks too good not to be there.
Yeah.
But, so I finally moved back to where me and Eric actually killed some big bucks out of.
Yep.
And
good rage that
I did it on Thanksgiving Day. And I walked back in there at, was it noon?
Yep.
And the first thing I see is like just a big one on the ridge. I don't know if he's like bedded on the ridge or something, but I was like, man.
And like, you bumped him.
Yeah. I just like clicked in your head like, I should have been here way sooner.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So then I sat that night and had another big one come in. This one was a really nice one. And he skirted me, but so then I went back, I had to do Thanksgiving Friday, and then I went back Saturday morning, and I mean, come around like first light, I saw a buck, and it was him, and he, from the side, he didn't look, you know, he looked good, but when he turned, it was like that frame was just like, I mean, he's a tank.
Got you all excited once he turned. Yeah.
And he actually came in between where I walk in, and he, downwind, and I was like, you know, he'll probably bust me, but. So I grunted and snorted and wheezed at him, and he bust right through that wind. And
he's worked up enough. Yeah, it didn't matter.
And he came in at the bottom of the ridge too. So I'm shooting pretty far down, like pretty steep angle. But the problem was I couldn't get him stopped. That was the big problem.
But you're in the timber?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like a big open acorns everywhere. Like, I mean, this spot is
right on top of a ridge.
That'd be a good mid-October spot.
Yeah. And he came in at 20, and I couldn't stop him. I tried, and then, I mean, I had the shot, so I took it, and with the light of knock, I knew I hit far back right away.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, you know, terribly far back, but liver for sure. But yeah. I got lucky. He, instead of jumping the arrow, he like went to turn, so he quartered away for me, and I got in there. I'm pretty sure I clipped one lung, but man, right when I hit him though, like he went 40 yards in the bottom, and he stood there for 20 minutes, like.
Trying to in there. See how he was feeling.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Just trying to see what was going on, but I knew he was hurting, a tail tucked and everything. And then he finally decides he's going to go up the next ridge. And it's so open, I can see the whole ridge. So, I mean, I watched him for an hour try going up that ridge. I mean, every 20 yards, he'd stop. And I'm like, man, maybe he'll go down.
Over.
Yeah, maybe he'll go down, maybe he won't. And then another buck came in, and then he started acting like, you know, put on that tough show. I was
really?
Like, I was like, maybe I didn't hit him as good as I thought. But I could see the hole in him. I couldn't see that much blood coming out, but it was hard to tell at that point.
Yeah.
But he finally made it over the ridge, and, you know, I called Eric and everyone, and, like, you know, everyone's telling you, I think everyone's trying to be nice, but, you know, saying, oh, he's dead. Like,
I think if you hit a deer like that, I mean, they're going
to
expire, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
quartering away when he turned, you think it just.
And it took him an hour to go. I mean, this other ridge was not steep at all.
For the record, our crew. We'll tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So if we're telling you dead deer, we all really think dead deer.
Yeah, no, I know. But
I know you know that.
And I shot him at 7 in the morning. And, man, it was a long wait. I had to wait. Everyone agreed that I should wait longer. So I gave him 7 hours. And in this spot, though, other people can hunt there, too. So it's like a public spot. And, there's some other guy hunting there, and he's like, oh, I got some buddies coming to put stands up for shotgun. I was like, well, shit. Like,
yeah.
Don't want to get bumped around.
You'd rather be the guy in there to bump him and see him, see like, which way he goes.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, if you could just give me till like noon, like I'll try making it work, and maybe he'll be dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we can do that. So then the guys nice end up them. Showing up, and they end up, they're actually going to a whole different area from where he bedded, like where I thought he went. So I was like, oh, perfect. So then I ended up getting until 2 p.m., so 7 hours. And I thought that was enough time because the blood I sent you guys, I mean, there was blood everywhere. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, man, maybe I did hit him better.
Good blood. The arrow looked good. I mean, we all figured that's a dead deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was liver blood for sure, but there was some, I think, lung blood in there too.
Yeah.
And there's no guts on it at all. So I must have just hit solid liver and caught a lung. But I waited till 2, went down there, found the blood, and I got over that little ridge, and then I saw a rat get up and leave. And I knew it was him right away, and I was just like...
How far was he when you jumped him?
From where I shot him, probably less than 200 yards. So he made it over that ridge and bedded down.
Just went right down.
The next bottom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... Hindsight 2020, I should have probably waited till the morning, but there was rain coming too. So, I mean, odds were against me very. Like,
and there was a lot of rain coming.
There was a lot of rain.
In there trying to hang stands for gun season. You got rain coming.
The odds are against you at this point.
Yeah. So we bumped him and then I just marked it, put my arrow there and say, well, just come back. And then, you know, everyone I talked to said he'll be dead within 100 yards from where, you know, the first bed.
Yeah.
Which I agreed with because, I mean, he didn't make it far from where I shot him.
Yeah.
Bedded down.
And pretty much went straight and bedded.
Yeah. He, like, got out of the area and bedded, and then, so I go back. It rained all night, rained all day Sunday on me while I was looking for him. I had 3 guys with me, and, man, I could not find any sign of him. And we walked, you know, a huge radius. I mean, I walked 8 miles that day trying to find him, and I don't know. I couldn't see where he went. Nothing to go off of.
8 miles, but you're putting in work.
Yeah, and with 3 guys, I mean, we were searching everywhere. But while we were searching, towards the end of the day, one of my buddies jumped up a doe and a big 8-pointer. He said it was estimated a split G2. He said he couldn't see, it was too thick, but said it was a big 8, got up, and the doe ran away, and the buck bedded back down. And I was like,
that sounds weird.
And this was pretty far from where we were, so I should have known it wasn't mine, but...
At the same time when you hear a big 8
and... I mean, how many big 8s are running around that area, you know?
Yeah, and that's weird behavior, what he explained.
And he bedded
that's
back down.
Mean, like, he bedded back down.
And he said because I tried sneaking around with my bow to get to him, and he must have heard me or something, and he said he got up and left, but when he was leaving, he's like, walking weird. Like, just not right. So I was like... So we marked that spot. I tried getting an eye on him, like, sneaking around, see if I could find him, because it was rainy, so I could sneak around, but
try and get another
I never saw him, and then now I didn't know really what to do, and this was Sunday, so I had to go back to work Monday, and I was sitting there, I was like, man, you know, staring at the map, like, because you can track where you walk, so
yeah.
I knew where I was, and I was like, man, if he made it across that big field, I was like, because there's a huge creek on the other side, and I was like, man, if he made it over there, he might, you know,
be in that creek.
I'll probably never find him, but
yeah.
So then, I think it was eating away at me, so I was like, all right, I got to go back. So my uncle went with me, and I was waiting for him where we park, and I could see some crows, and I was like...
Because you went in, what, the following Wednesday?
Yeah. So it's been quite a while. I mean, at that point, you're just...
Your body searching.
Your body searching.
Well, and that, too, that was one of them weeks where it got up to, like, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In the middle of that, then cooled back off. It was one of them deals.
Well, yeah, but shout out to you, though, for making the effort. I think a lot of guys be like, I don't know. And then they just continue to hunt.
I mean, yeah.
We could all tell it was eating at you.
Oh, dude, it was...
That type of situation always eats your soul.
Yeah, man. I was just staring at that map, where could he have gone? Because we searched, you know. And then, I'm parking, I'm waiting for my uncle, and I see 2 crows, and I've never really went off that, but I've heard, you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt to go look, right?
Yeah.
So we go back to where we last... had my last arrow where we jumped in the first time, and my uncle just searched around there, and I was like, well, I'm gonna go check out where those crows were. So I'm getting closer to them. I can hear them. I thought I only heard like 3, but man, I got up there and there's probably 20 of them flew out, and I was like, he's got to be in here, and I could start smelling something dead. And yeah, I found him pretty fast actually. And then what's the worst part is on Sunday is I missed him by 1 ridge, like,
ugh.
Towards the truck. Like, I don't know why he would go that way, but
yeah, because you were marking where you were walking all day, and then
missed him by, I don't know,
100 yards?
Less than 100
yards.
Oh,
man. That makes it worse.
Yeah. And
well, you recovered him.
Yeah. If you didn't have that rain, you probably would have followed blood the whole way, you know, to him.
Yeah, if it didn't rain, I probably just would have waited till the morning if rain wasn't coming, but...
Yeah, I mean,
what can you do?
Puts pressure on you, like, make a decision, what are you going to do? I think with that rain, even if you wouldn't have been in there and bumped him or whatever, you still would have body searched.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do at that point? But I found him, and he wasn't... I mean, it was pretty cold. There's like maybe one 50 degree day, but he was not that bad, actually. I mean, the meat and stuff's all gone, but...
That's a bummer, yeah.
At least I found him, recovered him, and...
you did your job.
Yeah, you're doing what you can do.
Yep.
Yeah, it just...
Everyone's... You know, like, sucks. There's going to be somebody out there that listens to this and be like, well, I would have done this, and screw you for this. It's like, yeah, man, it's just...
I went out and walked 8 miles that next day. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, you tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only... The part that messed us up was seeing the other deer, and that, and he was way not even close to where he was laying.
Yeah, that kind of threw a stick like, in your
we might have searched over there if we didn't see the other one, and then, but I got him, you know, it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those situations, there's no playbook to be like, what's the right call here, because no situation's the same.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you just do what you think is right in that moment, or the best ethically or morally, you know, whatever, same difference. But your brain's going 1,000 different directions to try and figure out how you need to recover the deer is your responsibility as a hunter to find a wounded deer.
You're studying that map like, okay, where could he go? Well, he could literally go anywhere.
Yep.
And this piece is huge. I mean, it's...
It's a huge chunk.
Well, I also want to say, too, we know a lot of people. And I mean, I don't really consider, like, it might not be a friend, but we all have heard about the guy or talked to the guy who wounds a deer. And he's like, yeah, he's probably not dead, and didn't put any effort in for the recovery because it was too much work.
Yeah, like we lost blood at 200 yards. And
yeah, he's probably alive. It's like, whoa, what are you doing? You have a responsibility here.
You got to follow it up somehow.
Yeah, you wounded an animal. You have to take responsibility for this now. It's 100%. Time to put in some work. This is where the real work starts.
Boots to the ground.
Don't do that. It's disrespectful to the animal. So shout out to you, Doug, for putting in that extra effort.
Congrats, buddy. Happy for you.
Yeah, so you did recover your buck.
I did.
And that puts you in...
It's a tank of an 8-pointer.
It is a tank of an 8-pointer, dude. So if you guys are listening audio, we have the rack. Hold that baby up. We got... You probably want to show it to this camera right here. Yeah, money. I don't know if you can see in the viewfinder. But Doug's showing the buck off on the DeerCast video. So left split G2, good twos, good threes.
Good threes.
No brows, but really cool mass. And like his left beam, like it looks like it like melted and then kept growing back on the track it wanted to.
He's a huge body. It was huge body. I mean.
He's an older deer.
Yeah, for sure older deer. But I'm happy with him.
I mean,
100%.
I put in the time and it finally happened.
Yeah, he's a stud. I got to measure him still for the chip bet because Eric's in the fourth quarter. Score.
I'm in the fourth quarter.
How you feeling, Eric?
It hasn't kicked in yet just because we're kind of on a
break.
We're on a break because we have gun season in Iowa right now, so we can't bow hunt. But I think come the 19th, when the first day back out, it's going to be pressure on.
Mm.
It hasn't hit me yet, but it will.
Yeah, I don't really feel like you're that nervous about eating this chip, though.
I still feel like if I handled that pepper somewhat okay.
I think the difference between the pepper and the chip is like the chip, you actually have to like chew it all up and it gets all over your mouth.
That's what I do with the pepper too because it was so dry.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. I don't know. We'll tell. I guess
we'll find out. Time will tell, I guess.
We'll have a review. We'll video it for sure. I don't know if we'll live stream it, but we'll for sure video it. But I want you to pull it off in the fourth quarter just because Doug didn't show up for my podcast.
I got some of my bucks are starting to show back up again, so I'm...
Does that make you nervous, Doug?
I mean, I can still get... I can get another... I can get my late muzzleloader tag and use my bow. I mean, I can go shoot a bigger one.
Mm.
Good. But you're not.
I might.
I know you. I know you. You're tagged out. You're not going to.
I love how more weird time you do.
That's true.
Well... Boys,
get a spot though.
It's spicy out here. So, will there be a bet next season between you two?
Yeah.
No.
Eric says yes. You say no. So you if Eric brought up a new bet next year, you'd turn it down.
I'd listen to it.
You'd hear him out.
You entertain it.
I'd entertain
it. It is really like for us, it's entertaining as heck to just watch it and stuff. And I think listeners enjoy the.
I think we need to make a group bet.
The banter, a group bet. Like, what do you mean? Like, as a group,
like.
Like all tattoo bet? I guess I don't have very good stances on making bets with the group with deer, because I already got one tattoo.
The problem is, like, the bets you're making are, like, bettable bets. Like, you know, you don't take a bet if it's like, no, that's good. Yeah, of course.
You're not like the underdog.
It's not like
in the bet.
The bet you and Steve made, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect example.
You know what I mean?
So if people don't know about that, we talked about on the show, we were doing a live podcast at a trade show. So there was like a crowd, and yep. Steve was trying to be like,
trying to be funny,
be big man and
he
be
had
funny.
A few drinks.
He was actually, I think he was trying to be funny, but he was serious when he made the bet. Like, I think he thought
he was for sure.
He was going for a Hail Mary.
Right.
So he tried to do it in front of a group, which kind of made me like a little like, all right, yeah, I'll take your bet.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's like
can't
me,
turn it down.
That's like me making the same bet with Mark Drury.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you
a pretty,
know what I'm
pretty close.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
But so Steve had that pet turtle. So if you guys ever hear those turtle jokes, that's where this feeds in. Like, people are posting turtle soup recipes in the group, and then other people who don't know, they're like, what does this have to do with bow hunting?
Right.
So yeah, Steve basically, long story short, called me out. I bet you I kill a bigger buck this year than you. And I said, okay, what do you want to bet? And then he couldn't think of nothing. And I was like, okay, if I beat you, then we get to take your turtle. And then Eric's like, we're going to throw that baby in a crock pot and have turtle soup. So turns out Steve lost and his
and the turtle went MIA.
It's in witness protection yeah. somewhere. I heard on the recent Thoughts from a Steve series on our Patreon. So thank you, Patreon subscribers. He was... I skim through them and like listen to them and like right. make sure everything's good before I put them out there. And he said, he's like, I don't even know where it's at. It's in witness protection because I haven't seen that turtle in like a year. So it's dark out there. So
no thing can't be alive still, can it?
I don't know. No. So no bets next year. Cause I know a lot of guys do deer hunting bets. I've never been a fan.
Oh, we've got a lot of messages of people like, I mean, I think they've made their own chip bets with their friends and everything too.
Oh, really?
I think we have bets on bets going.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been great for the podcast because people are loving
like
it.
Like bets on your guys' bet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
People are betting against other people who's going to win the bet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fun. Side betting.
Well, side bets going.
I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing for like hunting camp, like camaraderie. Like that's part of like the culture is like doing that. Like, you know, like the hat slaps and cutting your shirt tail off and
100%.
Like stuff like that's funny.
Just adds to everything, you know.
Yeah.
I'm entertained by it, man. I've had a great time watching you guys banter because it's all friendly stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
But also, neither one of you guys really wants to eat that chip.
I mean, nobody wants to eat the chip.
We knew we'd had fun with it, though. I mean, we're going to be happy with whoever, you know, wins the bet, but
yeah.
It's just a friendly
bet.
Well,
the tattoo bet we did as a group, that was like the last person to shoot a deer had to get a tattoo.
Yep.
And it was was it a buck or any deer?
Any deer.
Any deer.
Any deer, yeah. So, and... Yeah, you just had a long season that year and were just the last person to kill. Because you end up shooting the deer that year.
Yeah, it was down to me and Jordan Johnson.
Oh, crap, it was.
And like everyone's tagged out and me and him were the only ones still hunting. And I'm like, well, someone's got... And he ended up shooting a doe.
Yeah, somehow Steve pulled a Hail Mary. Yeah. It was like the third one to get one.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. We should do it. But hey. And the tattoo...
Yeah, it is.
I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of jealous.
It turned out awesome.
It's a fun tattoo. With a great story. So that was worth it, actually.
Yeah, 100%.
I watched you get it. We got it in a kitchen, which was even cooler.
Airbnb tattoo.
By a legit tattoo artist, for the record. We're not going to call him out. But yeah, great tattoo. I'm like, man, I kind of want one of that, too.
Right?
You know, it's just kind of neat. So
turned I don't know, Dougie,
how you feeling? Pressure off? How you feel about your season? Give me like a season recap.
Pressure's off a little bit, but anything could happen still. I mean,
yeah,
there's some time left. And deer start coming to food and more patternable.
You think you're going to try and get another one with the bow?
Yeah, I might. I might go to my parents a little bit here and there. I got some good old stomping grounds and some public I could try.
That'd be kind of fun.
Never know out there.
Yeah, that's a cool thing about it.
Wild West.
You don't have to really stress out about like pressure as much.
No, yeah. You know, public land late, no one really cares anymore.
Yeah.
Usually too cold out for people.
Yeah.
Eric could pull off this Hail Mary, though, man, and pull it off in the next couple weeks.
He could.
I will.
I'd rather you not.
I'd rather you not.
I'd rather you not.
You would bet?
You would bet.
I'll bet you a chip that I pull it off. Dude, you'd eat two of them.
Once you ate one, you'd be fine eating the other one. Cause
might as well just throw it in there.
At that point, if you're going to die from spice, you might as well just double down and really die. You know?
Just extra die.
Yeah. Well, that story's quick, but... We've kind of talked about it here and there.
We talked a lot about it, like in our seasons and stuff, but I don't know. It was a long one.
It was definitely close, though, for us just saying screw it and eat the chip, both of us. Like, get this curse out from underneath us.
It was weird. It felt like a curse.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, how many all-day sits did you do this year? Like, from dark to dark?
Probably did 15.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of time.
I didn't do that many, but I had my fair share this year.
Yeah.
A lot more than last year, I can tell you that.
It's a lot to think about when you're in the stands.
So when you say all-day sits, so I consider there's two categories of all-day sits. There's you get into the stand or saddle or whatever you're in, and you're there from daylight to dark, and you didn't move. And an all-day sit I also consider is like if you get down, make a move, and get back in for wind direction or whatever it might be. Those are both all-day sits in my book.
For me, all-day sit is once you're in the stand, you ain't leaving the stand.
Yeah, I think I got down like twice and took a nap.
Like just at the base of the tree. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? That you're still hunting all day. You're just making a different move.
You're making a move, yeah.
So the same difference.
But most of the time, like, you climb up and you don't climb down until dark.
I would say that's both all day sits because there was times where the wind direction would switch and you had to move stands or something. Yeah,
true. Dude, I sat in a saddle one day before I killed my November buck, and I sat, I think I was 10 hours in the saddle, and I was like pretty exhausted.
I don't know if I could do a saddle all.
Yeah, well, I got down, so I hunted in the morning, saw some deer moving because I did the hanging hunt, and I realized I was like, it was one of those things like, oh, I'm in the wrong tree. Like, this is still a good tree. Like, if I committed time to this, I'd get an opportunity. And I almost did I drew back on a buck, and I didn't feel right about it, so I let down. But I moved to where I saw that buck come out of, where I would have had a better shot. And that, so I sat, was like, okay, I'm close, but I'm a little off. Guess and check. And I got down and moved again, and then I sat for the rest of the day. And that's when Trey called me when he was coming in to hunt. That's when he called me. He's like, dude, all my stuff fell off my truck.
Oh, shit.
That's that same day. And I'm like, oh, no. not good. Well, Dougie, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is kind of a quick podcast, straight
to the point.
All meat and taters. That being said, we have some long WCB podcasts coming, so we're going to make up for a shorter DeerCast podcast this week. And then this is lunch break length, man, so this is actually perfect. Yeah. We're right where we need to be on this episode. We have some really long WCB podcasts coming. When I say long, we're talking 3 hours type long. So we appreciate you guys supporting us when we do the long episodes.
Yeah. 100%.
We appreciate you guys supporting Working Class on DeerCast. Some exciting news. We're continuing to run this series.
Yep, next
year. Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
I should say the long nights of thinking about what happened, I did look up on DeerCast, and it did say that, lower in the back liver, I mean, the deer could have gone a mile.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking there, and it said give it 13, 14 hours. So I probably should have waited in the morning, but.
You had everything against you, dude. Like,
it's.
I think anyone here or listen to this would be like, I would have done the same thing because you had rain coming. You had guys going in there to hang stands.
Yeah.
It was going to get warm out.
It's hard to sit and think, but I should have done that differently.
Right.
You know, people are going to tell you should have done it differently.
Yeah. And shout out to David and Jacob. I mean, they walked all day with me Sunday in the rain.
That's very cool of them. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
100%. But yeah, dude, yeah, don't beat yourself up over it. It is what it is. You did the best thing that you thought was right, and you made an effort and you recovered the deer. But yeah, there's going to be somebody in the comments that's going to say, Doug should have done this. It's like, well, hey, man.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard to make those decisions. That's why deer hunting is hard and challenging, because it's not just cut and dry, see a deer, shoot it, recover it. There's a lot that can play in.
Yeah.
And a lot that the mental game will eat you alive if you're not careful.
Even if you recover them right away, there's always things you're like, I should have done this different.
Yeah. True.
You know what I mean?
Yep. It's tough, dude. You got to make them calls in the heat of the moment when you maybe aren't thinking as clearly as you normally would be or should be.
Right.
You got them. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
proud of you, buddy.
Killing it, man. Killing it. Eric.
Thanks, boys.
You got this, man.
Yep, I got it.
Bring her home. Bring her home.
For the home team.
Yep. I want to see that upset just because Doug didn't show up for my
I hope you get one. Podcast. I just hope it's smaller.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It's got to be bigger.
Got to be bigger than Doug's.
Yeah. So I can measure that thing today and I'll know how big it is, but you guys won't. So.
True.
All right.
How big do you think it is?
143 and an eighth.
Okay. Got to beat that then.
I'm going 142. Even.
I'm going 142 and 6/8.
Just right between.
I like that. Okay. Thanks, guys, for tuning in, listening, watching on DeerCast. Thanks for the support. We appreciate the heck out of you. Good luck for the rest of your season. We're fourth quarter, but there's still a lot of time left. There's more time than you think. So get out there, stay calculated, and put in the work. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you. Peace.